Hey everyone, welcome to our bonus podcast segment dedicated to the Great British Baking Show.
This week we are covering Collection 11, Episode 3, Bread Week.
Woohoo. Bread Week, the most intense week and challenge of the whole season, right?
They're all scared of Paul Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, they are. And so, yes, Bread Week is, I think, the most intimidating of the weeks. But like, I don't know what it was this week, but like this episode just like, it didn't bring me the same joy that it brings me from week to week.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. What do you think? What do you think, Wendy?
It did for me. I think they're all such feel good. And of course, at the end, somebody goes home. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe this season, they're just all so sweet that losing any of them. I mean, there's a couple that we probably just haven't seen as much of. You know, like I think Rowan, we haven't seen as much of. Dan, we didn't see as much of this week. You know, there just wasn't as much focus. But I think in general, they're all so sweet that I wouldn't want to lose any of them. But I mm-hmm. still enjoyed it.
I'm sorry. There's no fucking way Abby should have gone home. No fucking way. I'm just like, it's not even like I picked her for like, you know, competitor, but like Rowan made three piles of shit.
No, Dan, you're wrong. Come on, let's fight.
You couldn't serve Dan's raw shit. Like his pizza shit was shit. His final one was shit. Like how? Jesus.
I honestly think
that's what it was.
We had a debate this week and got some feelings on this episode.
I will say like Rowan, when he described what he was going to do for the showstopper, I was like, no, don't do that, Rowan. Like, no one else was doing something like that. But he, like, I know it didn't look great, but I think he was super ambitious and he got it up and standing. And I gave him credit for that. I have zero
issues with the presentation. I think the presentation was great. Yeah. It has to be edible.
Yeah. Well,
it was not.
And it wasn't just Rowan that had challenges with that this week. I mean, I think there were a few bakers for their showstoppers had some not fully baked. I think they, Prue had said about Saku's showstopper, or at least part of what she had eaten, was gluey. That's never a good mm-hmm. term. That's not what you want to hear.
It doesn't sound appetizing.
No, I think what I saw with the showstoppers, and I know we're kind of going out of order because we usually start with signature and then go to technical and showstopper, but I definitely think we've got some things we want to talk out as far as how things went. But I think what happened with the showstopper for some of them was they got so focused on the presentation and the worried about the plating and the presentation and how it was all going to come together. And they lost their focus, I think, a little bit on the, you know, how long or how much it was going to need to bake or prove. And then also their flavors and textures, just like they got so focused on presentation because it was a showstopper. That's my opinion anyway.
I think if Abby had done better in the signature, she would have been saved. I honestly think that was what did her in, was because Dan did really well in the signature and she kind of struggled with all three. But I think Dan's showstopper was definitely much worse than Abby's.
I'm sorry. I said Dan produced a piece of shit in the signature, and I was thinking of the pizza, which was nightmarish.
Yeah,
not completed.
Yeah. And you know what? I didn't even think... It didn't seem like a great thing, even if he had pulled it off. I mean, I'm sure if it was delicious.
I don't think it would have been impressive at all.
Right.
Like, it's a word. I'll tell you what. If he had pulled it off.
Yeah.
If he had taken the time, he hadn't run out of dough. If he had actually gotten each of those flavors wrapped up inside of each one. And so you're basically almost like flavored breadsticks. Okay. I think that there's a pretty good, a pretty good dish in there.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it looked as impressive as some of the others. And
I was not impressed with his design. No.
Yeah, I think he wanted to like demonstrate a whole bunch of different ways of. He was just. It was all too much. He just was his own victim.
I just don't think he had a lot of. I don't know when it showed his design, and when you look at everyone else's, I'm just like, really, you're gonna plate some bread and spell out the word pizza?
Yeah, it's
you know
odd.
When you've got like Medusa and you've got a peacock and you know a tree and
yeah, you've got a standing tree.
Yeah, like, so it's like, I mean, even though it wasn't executed as beautifully, maybe the flavors and things are just whatever, but it was still like he was trying to do something a little bit inventive, you know, and a little different. So, you know, I still have to give him kudos for that. But I was just like, you're just plating some bread and spelling out a word. I wasn't, especially considering where we saw Dan in weeks one and two, it was like Prue said, it's like, we expected so much more from you. Like, we know that you can do better. I don't know what, if it was just the, you know, sometimes it's so mental, especially with it being bread week, that it just gets in your head. You know, you get all up in your head about it and you know it's going to be challenging. You have Paul Hollywood's eyes piercing you, you know, about the bread. That's intimidating. So maybe he just got kind of in his head about it. But and his signature wasn't bad, but it was uneven distribution, right, of his pesto. So, I mean, it wasn't a disaster or anything, but it still fell short. I just felt like his mistakes were more critical than what Abby's were, in my opinion. Like, he left out his sugar in the technical. He didn't make enough dough for his showstopper, and he didn't get an even distribution in his signature. I just felt like, you know, I felt like his were a little bit more careless, honestly. I just really didn't think that Abby deserved to go at all.
I really am going to miss seeing what she could have done, because I do think she was just having a bad week, and she's super talented and sweet and earnest and really nice.
Well, okay, look, so I feel like Dan, they graced him because of what he's shown in previous weeks.
I do think sometimes I see that happening.
I've seen it. Abby did really well in previous weeks too. Well, and that's what I'm saying is, like, Rowan, I think, should have gone home. And I know that in this particular situation, he was daring, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm going to make a monstrous loaf and then a hideous loaf," and then like I was just like. This was kind of almost to the point of like where Keith was last week, where it's like, I mean, it's obvious he's going home, right? Like, that's, we're not really discussing it. I mean, just like, oh, well, this is, okay, we got to come up with a competition. Like, he was bottom third of everything. I understand that Abby was too, but Abby has shown the creativity and the innovation to, and man, like, yeah, I was very disappointed in the final call. I mean, obviously absolutely thrilled for Tasha. But I know I said like, hey, possible flash in the pan. She may run out of her speed. I don't think we're there yet. And maybe she will be a force to be reckoned with for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. I think that is definitely possible. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think she had a slow start, but she's going now.
I do not deny her talent. I think it was restraint, too,
which is good sometimes.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Going balls out all the time
gets you in trouble. But I mean, sometimes it makes amazing things.
Sometimes it can save you, but sometimes, like, that's the what is it, the pitfalls of being an artist, right? Is that sometimes you can make phenomenal things,
right?
And then other times it is just bad, and you can't just be just bad. on this competition. It's even though everybody is super sweet, and even though everybody is very, very kind-hearted and all that, but like, yeah, I think this is the first time that I've been actually kind of upset at a decision. I there was a lot of negativity this episode. All of the underproves.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this is underproved. The underproved. Oh, this is way underproved. This is massively underproved. Oh, this one's actually okay. those the Devonshire splits. It was just like
that happened. Yeah, in the technical, and it made me think because almost everyone's was underproved in some form, either just by a little or a lot. Wouldn't you say maybe there's not enough time in that challenge? I was just gonna say, it seems like, I know it's a challenge and it's in a technical, but I mean, they should still be allotted the time to actually pull it off, right?
I mean, unless it's a case of people had extra time at the end. I mean, we don't really see.
I know it's edited.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But is it a thing where that bread is proved longer than most breads and they're not familiar with it because it's a technical, so it just says prove.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I do think that the editing makes it more difficult for us to tell because, mm-hmm. I believe, was this the one that had to do the two proofs?
Well, I think they all do. Bread, I think, had all the challenges had two proofs. They had the first proof and then they had a second one.
Is that the one that had to make the, yeah. So they had to do the whole thing, mm-hmm. right? And then prove it for X period of time. Mm-hmm. And then they had to cut it to eight balls and then
prove that
again. And I think, as you say, it's a technical challenge, but I think that I don't know if like the idea is, hey, we're going to have Paul Hollywood do this. You can have him make it. And then we're going to add 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like from beginning to end, we're going to add 20 minutes from the time they actually.
Are we going to take away 10?
Well, yeah, I mean, it does feel that way.
Yes.
Maybe they add 10 to like, hey, if they know what they're doing, they're going to be good. If they don't, they're going to underprove or whatever.
Right.
They can almost set up our break bakers for failure, and for differentiation, right? So some people may be able to do it in 2.5 hours, but some people may take a little bit longer for technical aspects on the front end or on the back end or the third step or the 12th step or what the hell ever, right? Like, and I can appreciate where technical challenges end up being kind of like we talked about with the custard creams last week. Yeah, it is a good technical challenge in that if you don't know, you don't know, and you're going to mess it up. But I will say that the fact that Saku and Tasha were the two that were not underproofed, and I think even Tasha's was slightly underproofed. Little bit, yeah. I get what you're saying, Rima,
yeah.
And it does. I feel that way almost on a regular basis. I'm pretty forgiving.
Yeah,
I'm pretty forgiving. But on, like, especially on Bread Week, like, you should give them 3.5 hours and see if they overprove it. Like, see if they know exactly what it is that they're doing, or if they're just being like, oh, well, I just have to use all of the time.
I think generally they pick that technicals that they won't know.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, obviously the instructions and recipes that they get is just says make dough or, mm-hmm. and then prove, like, okay, but you know, there's no proof for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. You know, I know it all varies depending on what you're working with, but you know, and I get that. I, you know, that makes sense to me, but it's like, it just seemed like whenever it was everyone and not just one or two people, you know, because usually, yes, I mean, we see it sometimes, you know, between different challenges that, oh, you didn't prove this long enough. But when it was consistent amongst almost every baker, it's like, well, did they allot enough time? And again, yeah, good point, Wendy, about the, you know, the editing, you know, I'm always like, is it really when they say, bakers, you have 1 minute left or 5 minutes left? You see everybody going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And they're rushing and trying to hurry. And it's like, is it really like that in there? Like, is everyone really rushing up to the very last
minute?
Some
people are, but I don't think everybody is. Yeah, I think a lot of that is edited. And I appreciate the editing.
Like, I do too.
It looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah, no complaints. I totally get it. You know, it's fun to watch, but I'm just like, I don't know. It just felt like when almost every single baker was being called out for underproving, then maybe there wasn't enough time. And again, it being a technical, maybe that's just something that, hey, either you know how to work with this kind of dough that for these Devonshire splits, you know, and you just mm-hmm. know it needs a certain amount of proving time, or, hey, I've never made one in my life and I have no idea how long it takes. And you're just going like with your past knowledge of it other bread.
Really, it did look really good.
Didn't it look really good?
Yeah.
I bet it tasted mm-hmm. amazing with that chantilly
I've never
cream.
Seen anything like that.
No.
Well, one of them had talked about the cream was curdled, and I was like, oh, whoa.
Yeah, that, yeah. That didn't sound very good.
That's not good.
No.
Yeah, so I just to go back to the signature mm-hmm. real quick. I thought that Josh's pizza, Ninja pizza, I don't know what that is, but that looked really, really
he
good. I
was he like, had a really good week.
Somebody
to look out for.
Say, Josh has been a sleeper.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, he's mm-hmm. creeping up there.
Yeah, I think he could have won Star Baker. He was pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, between that and his tiger, mm-hmm. like, oh, that was like, awesome. Hey, we just assumed that, like, yes, everybody failed the technical. But I guess the fact that Tasha was number two,
yeah,
like that probably. I didn't catch like the middle, like. Five, six, or four, five,
I
six.
I never keep track.
So,
of, yeah,
Josh was in there somewhere.
He was in the middle.
But you know, Tasha had a.
Tasha was
week.
Two.
Like, she was.
Saku was one in the technical, which is amazing. Saku and Dana also, I think, people to watch out for. Dana had a really good week, and she was kind of struggling
she
the
struggled.
First week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
that,
she had a good week.
Yeah, the Chipotle paprika smoked cheddar. Like they talked about her having the cheese in the bread and not letting it prove long enough, or making it stodgy. I don't remember the term that Prue used, but and then at the end they were basically both like, okay, yeah, you nailed it. Like it was good. I was like, yeah, that
it sounded
good.
Really good. Yeah.
Those yeah, the
are my
flavors yeah. sound amazing. Yeah, the Chipotle smoked cheddar and bacon cob loaf. Hey, it must have been a hell of a dough. It shattered her glass in her mixing bowl.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I've never seen that before in all the seasons. Some crazy things happen, but I don't think I've seen that yet. But yeah, it sounded amazing.
Maddie's looked good. I liked his flavor. It was spicy.
Yeah, was that the signature with the like pepper flakes, or was it? Or
I think so. It was rustic looking.
Okay, yeah.
It was the olive tomato, and something else. Yeah. So I don't recall Maddie's.
Mm-hmm. It had but, it looked it had spicy flavors in it. I thought I would have liked it.
It was interesting. A lot of folks had garlic and rosemary. They were really and that's tough.
Yeah.
Well, I believe last week we were talking about bread week, and I was like, "Yeah, this garlic rosemary bread mm-hmm. sounded real." Or I think what I said was olive rosemary, but or olive oil and rosemary. But I was like, "Yeah, like mm-hmm. rosemary is a popular savory." Mm-hmm. Bread flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Saku's cinnamon toast with orange sounded really good.
Which one had the chocolate in the? Oh no, that was the That was in the
Showstopper. Yeah, Christy had.
Yeah, that was. I was like, "Ooh, that sounds really
good."
And
I did think Tasha's was probably the best signature. It looked beautiful.
Oh, stunning! Yeah. I mean, even Saku's peacock. Mm-hmm. There were probably three quarters of them that looked great.
Yeah,
And I would say the other one quarter was damn. but like Christy's honey challah bread looked, and with the chocolate, I thought it was stunning. Mm-hmm. Then obviously, Josh's tiger was great. Dana's picnic basket, holy bejeez, that was phenomenal. Like I thought it was
I think they didn't like the bake on it a little bit. So, yeah. But I still think she's really come a long way.
Yeah, at least aesthetically, it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was funny because they they immediately turn it over and dump all the stuff out.
Yeah.
And
they knew exactly what to go look for. Yeah. Let's dissect this basket. Yeah.
Oh, Nikki got I guess not another cow, but absolutely beautiful cow.
I thought it looked great. And I know they thought the flavors were a little spotty, but it looked really good.
I thought it was beautiful, plating for its hair that was running in its face. It was just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. You say plating and I'm like, plating on the plate? No, it's the plaiting.
Plaiting. I'm sorry. No, I'm all over the place.
Plating.
I absolutely read plait as plate. But then I hear them talking about all the plaiting and I'm like, the what?
I think of braiding.
If I didn't have subtitles on, I'd be very confused.
America braiding.
America braiding. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Maddie and with his showstopper, they really liked the flavors, but it didn't look great. But I think the flavors were there.
I mean, the fact that he had West Ham, especially in light of Ted Lasso.
Maddie's a good flavor guy. Yeah. And the Tasha's was just amazing. The Medusa, I thought.
I loved it.
What did Abby's look like? I don't
remember. It was a tree.
The tree.
Okay. You know, even when I saw the diagram, I thought, I don't get it. I don't, you know? Especially after Rowan's tree, which looked so ambitious and you know. So, and I think there were three people that did trees, right? I'm not sure. But I think it just didn't work out.
No, it was just Rowan and, well, maybe Christy. No, because Christy had the one that didn't
fit in the wreath.
Yeah, the wreath.
And it really was nicely done. It had a real nice sheen on it, and the bake looked good. Because I'm like a keep it in 5 more minutes kind of bread girl. I always order my pizzas
texture, right?
Well done. Which is a weird thing, but that's how I like them.
I mean, crispy is good. Crispy is good.
Well, I think Tasha made a comment too with her. She's like, well, I'm going to keep it in there for a few more minutes. She said, I'd rather have it just a little bit crispy and not have it underdone, which I think they'd had comments for other folks not cooking it long enough. So at least she had that.
Nobody wants a soggy bottom.
No soggy bottoms. Saku's peacock was beautiful.
Yes.
Stunning.
Yeah.
I love Saku. I think she's my fan favorite. And she's just so afraid of Paul, and it's so adorable.
I know.
She's always
her faces are just spot on. I'm like, that. Now, if I were ever on that show, that would be me, because I may not say it, but you're going to see it all over my face. And when I see her facial expressions, I'm just like, I feel you. I'm right there. Too. And it's so sweet. She's such a sweet sweetheart. And when she talks about her daughter or her kids, when she was talking about, I know how to do this. I've been doing my own hair for this long and doing my own daughter's hair since she was 21. And then she goes, oh, my baby girl. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
And she's from Sri Lanka, I believe. Mm-hmm. And she brings a lot of the Sri Lankan flavors to her bakes. And I think that's really neat and good.
Yeah. Wasn't her cinnamon that's
cinnamon
amazing.
And orange, and that's right up my alley.
She does some amazing flavors, and she's definitely got some great technique and great ideas for her bakes so far.
Predictions? It's so hard because I think we're really seeing that so many of them are really good. Like, I could definitely see Dana or Josh or Saku. I could definitely see any of them kind of bust out and get a good week star baker.
I think, and this is, again, going back to my process of elimination, I don't think Rowan is long for the show or long for the tent. I think he's just going to run up against a bunch of really, really good bakes.
I think Rowan and Maddie are probably just not up to the same level as the others, but you never know.
Maddie was my other one that I was like, I don't think he's going to hold on. And if he does, great. Mm-hmm. Good for him. I would love to see somebody pull it out.
Yeah.
But I mean, like you guys said it, like, I think that Josh, Josh and Tasha are like, they obviously had like the best weeks, but both of them have been significantly improved since week mm-hmm. one. And it's funny. Tasha said, I don't think that I will underestimate myself anymore. Like the last line of the show. And, I think my fear is that she may go too far to the other end, like to the, hey, like I can do it and then bite off more than she can chew. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I personally think that a sleeper is Christy.
I could see that.
I want Nikki to go far because I love her and she's so a lot of fun.
She's
but
great.
I think Josh, Tasha, and Christy are the ones to like watch out for. And I think that that Maddie, Rowan, and Nikki may not go as far as maybe they hope.
Nikki and her horns.
And her horns.
That was so freaking adorable.
Yeah.
I just love her.
Really, really funny. That was one of my moments that I forgot about. Like, Allison was so funny. And Nikki just threw it right back out at horns. Horns? Horns.
Just
horns.
Absolutely adorable. I love her accent. So I can't, I'm glad I watch with, it's silly to watch a baking show with captions, but if I almost have to with Nikki, she has such a strong accent, but I absolutely adore her. I love it. I love accents.
I put the captions on.
Yeah, I have to. She's adorable. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I do think Josh is a sleeper. He's kind of crept up there a little bit. You know, like last week he had some really good bakes and I think he was right there in the running for Star Baker and just missed it by a nose. And, I'm of the same opinion as far as, you know, Maddie and Rowan. I think that they are talented for sure. You have to be to even be on the show and even to get a place there. But I'm worried a little bit about their level. I feel like, you know, each week challenges just get more and more difficult. I mean, if you think they're hard now, I mean, they just get more and more difficult. And I think they might run into, they could definitely surprise us. I've seen people really turn it around, but I do worry a little bit about how skilled they are compared to some others, but I really thought Abby was going to go a lot farther. So that was a shock for me. Cause I think, I know I was rooting for her. We've talked about, it takes one bad week, one just crap week for things just to hit the fan. Every time you turn around, you can be so stunning or do very well in other weeks, but you have that one and that's all it takes. You really just have to be on your game every single week.
Right. And you can get into your head and, you know, she could have just done poorly that one day and then that bleeds into the next. And then before you know it, you've just had a really bad week. But I am sorry because I would have liked to seen what she was going to do.
I know. I think she had a lot, a lot in her and, you know, to be able to go farther. And I don't know. I'm of the opinion that Dan better step it up to turn it around for me. I'm really disappointed because I'm just like, and again, I don't know if it was just like a mental thing for everyone that it's just, ooh, bread week. And that just gets in your head, right? So I don't know if that's what it was, because I'm just like, dude, y'all, you've been so meticulous about, you know, your work and your bake and to the things that he did that were kind of just careless and thoughtless. And I'm like, wow, that's not like you, man. You know, compared to what we've seen in his other, he was so meticulous about everything and he just kind of fell apart. So I don't know. I feel like he needs to earn back his spot a little bit, because I just felt like he should have been the one to go. So, but I think Dana's definitely got a lot of talent there. She's got a great understanding of flavors. So I think she can really pull something too. And I just love Tasha too. She's just an absolute favorite for me. So I hope she goes farther.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what they do in the next few weeks.
What's next week?
Chocolate week.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know you guys are all into it. I enjoy chocolate. Like I said, I enjoy it. It's just not chocolate on chocolate on chocolate.
I go back and forth. Anyway, I'm not big on chocolate.
I like chocolate on chocolate on chocolate. Right? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
chocolate
gosh.
Cake with some chocolate frosting and some chocolate chips and some chocolate sauce.
That sounds awesome.
That's funny, because I actually did eat, like I had breakfast, and then literally all I had until dinner was chocolate. But I mean, not like throughout, not throughout the day, but we were cleaning out the garage and I found some Cadbury from Christmas.
Oh, well, you had to get
like
rid of them
10 months ago. Yeah. I was like, well, I mean, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hungry, so it was good. I mean, it's chocolate.
You
so
you can't just sit there. Gotta eat it. What about any standout moments or funny moments, funny lines, anything?
Like, I honest to God, like outside of the Horans, I honestly waiting for something. Mm-hmm. And I
liked Saku fooling around with Paul. I thought that was really cute. And I have been liking Allison a lot. I think
she's fun.
She seems really natural and like she's having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Was this the one where they, because they were waiting for stuff to prove, right? And she was bowling and Allison
playing
was batting
a little cricket, weren't they? Yeah.
Cricket. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they were, and maybe that's why we don't have as many, because there's so much downtime, because bakers are just kind of sitting around like, well, we're just sitting here waiting for the bread to prove, you know, and twice, you know, they have two rounds of it. So maybe, you know, and they were trying to make some things happen to fill in the time, but. Yeah, a little bit of cricket. What did y'all think about the innuendos again? Which Bake Off always has a lot of innuendos, but they felt a little forced to me this week. I don't know what y'all thought.
I don't think any of them were real memorable, so maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even remember them.
Just during the signature, and Paul was asking Maddie about the proportion of his balls. His dough balls.
Oh yeah, I thought
cottage loaf has the big loaf on the bottom, the smaller on the top, and I was just like, I don't know. It just felt a little forced to me.
I think maybe that's a better description. Like, I would say juvenile, but like I am juvenile, and typically that stuff appeals to me.
Yeah, well, same.
But like even the juvenile humor, I was like, meh. That's like I said, there were things about this episode. Like I would rather go back and watch the Beaver episode again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, on repeat.
That was fine. And again, yeah, I have the humor of a 12-year-old, you know, so mm-hmm. I'm right there too, but I was just like, I didn't really love it. I felt it was a little too forced. Like they tried to put it out there and I guess I just didn't appreciate it, but I was just kind of over that. Are we still calling some of y'all's favorite bakers? Like these are the favorites you had last week the same as this week, or standouts for you?
I really think I now have like 6 or 7, so it could be anybody. You
so
know?
The entire yeah, basically contestants that are left. Yeah. I know. They're all so sweet.
They are.
To go home.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to root against Tasha.
Yeah, I'm not doing and, that.
No.
Yeah, and then like I said, Josh and Saku are ones that I'm looking forward to, and now Dana has really come kind of into my purview. Is like, what's she going to come up with this week? Between that pizza last week and her breads this week, I was pretty between visuals last week and flavor profiles this week. I was really interested.
Cool. All right. Any other notes or anything at all you guys want to say about this week's episode, Bread Week?
I think I covered everything.
I would be glad not to talk about this week. Aww.
I'm sorry, Greg.
It was just, I mean, it was still, I'm right there with you. I still had fun. It was still fun because it's still an episode of
sure,
Bake Off.
Absolutely.
And there's always joy with that. But I don't know that I've ever been so upset by a decision. You know, I mean, there are sometimes just like, oh, wow, you know, I didn't see that coming. Or, oh, wow, I didn't, you know, oh, okay, well, that was fair. This week just really felt unfair to me. So
I felt like that. I thought that's what was going to happen.
Goodness.
I did think it was close. It usually is close, but I did think that was what was going to happen. Yeah.
It's a rough week. Let's hope Chocolate Week is it's better.
I mean, you can't really go wrong with Chocolate
Week.
Well, I mean,
chocolate's great, but it's like, what are they going to have you do with the chocolate? Sometimes they really want something intricate and delicate, and I'm just like, I could never. So it'll be interesting to see what they want them to do with the chocolate. So yeah, it'll be great.
So just based on this, speaking of that, based on the finesse required for those really, really delicate chocolate carvings or decorations, who do you guys think is going to shine next week?
Oof.
I mean, chocolate's a really specific thing.
Yeah. It is.
So it's hard to predict. I mean, it might be somebody like Nikki, or, you know, it's kind of old fashioned.
I feel like Dana and Saku, and I could see Nikki breaking something out, be like, oh man, this is my jam. But I could see one of the, because that's always one of the challenges, right? It's always the very specific decoration and like either carving or piping or whatever. Maybe not piping with chocolate, but maybe like a mousse cake or something like that. Mousse pie? No. Mousse cake. Right? Whatever.
Mousse, chocolate mousse is good,
anyway.
Doesn't matter. Cake or pie.
I feel like the delicate touch is going to be required. And this is where I could see somebody like Rowan or Maddie flopping. Yeah. And again, if they prove me wrong and they're like, oh, look, Maddie's just like, yep, let me whip out my scalpel and, you know, carve up some amazing designs. Awesome. Fantastic. Just based on previous watches, I just don't know.
I agree. I mean, with just the 3 weeks that we've had so far, I'd have to say, I don't know that I've seen Rowan and Maddie have that very fine attention to detail. They've done some good work, but again, if they, and I don't know what they're going to ask them to do, it could be a chocolate cake or it could be chocolate anything, but normally in one of the challenges, signature, technical, or showstopper, there's going to be some very intricate, usually, chocolate work, and if that's called for, if they do something like that, I think they might struggle. And again, just only based on what I've seen, they could completely surprise you, because sometimes people do just come out of nowhere and you're like, wow, I didn't know that you had it in you. But I think Josh would be really good. I think he definitely has an eye for detail. I think Dan, who I know definitely had challenges this week for whatever reason, but I think based on what I've seen in other weeks and how he's really very technical and seems mm-hmm. to pay attention to detail. I think he could do very well.
He might have learned from what happened and start having a little restraint.
I was going to say, he might take away and go, wow,
I need to slow it down.
So
I think we're going to see a Dan bounce mm-hmm. back week yeah. next week. Yeah. Maybe not Starbaker, but I think I think he'll be at least back to middle of the pack.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. I think, you know, sometimes they take that and they're like, wow, I really skirted by there and I was pretty lucky. I really better tighten it up. I don't think he'll get another pass if he kind of has another, you know, failed week by any means. Yeah, we'll see. Anything else y'all want to say?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, we did get one piece of feedback from our good friend Penny, whom we all know and super excited to see this weekend, right?
Yes.
she left us a little note and says, I've never watched a whole episode of GBBO. I just don't find it compelling to watch people make food. I don't get to eat. But the podcast is great. Y'all have good voices and the discussion is soothing.
Well, thank you, Penny. Although I don't know if the discussion was soothing this week.
Yeah, you may not find it soothing this week. I thought that was just a lovely thing to say.
I do think a lot of people feel that way. Like, why would I want to watch all this delicious food being made that I can't eat?
Let's be fair. I used to fall asleep watching Food Network. Oh. Like watching Mario Batali.
Oh, me and my husband, I love Top Chef.
Like, I remember I was like 19 and I was watching night. I would work nights and I would wake up, you know, I would get home in the mornings and I'd just turn on Food Network and I'd just fall asleep on the couch. Yep. And it was like, that was the thing. And regardless of, you know, I'll just say poor choices, you know, like the Paula Deans and the Rachel Rays. And like they were people that I watched growing up. Mm-hmm. Watching people make food that I can't, like that, to me, that is an American institution.
Yeah. Like
I don't even have to try. I can just wow, that looks really, really good.
Yeah.
I think I like this one better because I can watch the process and I can see where it can go wrong. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm trying to like build in drama or anything like that. It's just I can watch I used to watch Top Chef with my ex-wife, and Top Chef is great. I really, really enjoy it. But the it's almost like Survivor.
It is.
With the, hey, like, I'm going to do this. And, you know, it's like, oh, hey, you have to make bread, but all by hand, no mixers.
Right. And like, sometimes I guess that was like a Hell's Kitchen type thing. You see people getting chucked out of the competition for the wrong reasons. Like, they're chucked out of the competition because their partnership went bad or because it was a crazy you know, just themed competition that didn't really have anything to do with the quality of their food. And I don't like those pieces. I think they've gotten away from that more. Like, I just watched the last season, which was the International All-Stars, which was really cool. Like, if you like ethnic cuisine, it was so much I had never seen before. It was really good because it was from all around the world. And it was in England and France. But I don't know, it seemed like a nicer group of people. Like it just seemed less American, less cutthroat, I will say.
Sometimes less American is good. I can appreciate the idea of not necessarily wanting to watch food being made that you can't eat. Thanks for listening to us.
Yeah, I love it.
Because I like to speak into everyone's ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a really nice comment. So thank you, Penny, for leaving us a nice little note. I'm okay with it as long as I'm not hungry whenever I'm watching. That's when I have a problem. So as long
as... Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think we can all share that. So... Next, for us, we're going to cover episode 4 from Collection 11, which, as we discussed, is Chocolate Week. So,
chocolate.
exciting to see what kind of challenges they'll have for chocolate. Could range. I mean, we've seen it. I feel like they always do a chocolate week. So, you know, it could be something very like just a cake, or it could be something very different. It could be very intricate, delicate work that they want them to do with the chocolate and or shapes or something. So it'll be interesting to see what they do and how all the bakers rise to the challenge. And I'm thinking we might be a little late with next week just because of the trip. We're all going to be gone and meeting each
maybe.
Other. So I
are
don't
we gonna think... watch it together?
We can. We yeah, can do that. I don't mind that. But yeah, we won't be recording while we're all together. I think we're all, or at least well, most of us.
We'll make everybody else watch it and give us opinions too.
Yeah, we can take polls and things and read them out on the next episode. So I don't know if anyone's podcasting next week at all. I know I'm not. So almost everything I'm doing is going to be a little late. So apologies in advance, but we'll definitely, you know, make some time to come back to this and talk about Chocolate Week. So as far as what we have going on outside of Bake Off, you know, this isn't the only one that we're doing. Paik and I are covering The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix. I don't know if you guys have watched that yet.
I haven't seen it yet, but it's on my to-do list.
We covered episode one, and I've already warned everyone that one's going to be a little bit late, too, getting episode two out. So, again, mm-hmm. apologies out to everyone. Sorry, we're all got so much travel going on right now. But we did cover episode one, so it is out right now. If you would like to listen to that, we'll have episode two as soon as we're back from all of that. And I gotta say, just based on that first episode, I can't recommend it enough. I'm absolutely loving it. So go watch.
So I have to mm-hmm. ask. So like I watched like the little preview type thing mm-hmm. And I've watched a bunch of Mike Flanagan with you guys, and a lot of it is rooted more in emotion and connection to the characters. But I'm not familiar with The Fall of the House of Usher and like the Poe story. But I did see that like Mask of the Red Death is the title of the second episode, mm-hmm. which I believe is was this based on a series of stories, or was it on like one or two?
So far they, and I've only seen the first episode. I still haven't even had a chance, had a lot going on in the last few days. So I haven't even had a chance to watch the second one yet. But he's taking inspiration from multiple works from Poe.
Oh, okay.
Now the main theme is from The Fall of the House of Usher, but he's taking pieces from, or inspired by, I should say, from other Poe stories, novels, poems, things like that, and weaving them in. So,
is it as scary as like Haunting of Hill House? Because like Haunting of Hill House was fucking freaky.
That's amazingly scary. Yeah, it was great. I based on the first episode to me was not scary, but it's dark. It feels like you're in a Poe novel or mm-hmm. short story or poem. It has that dark gothic feel, at least the first episode. Again, that's all I've seen. I don't know that this one is going to be, just from what I've read from the critics and non-spoiler critics reviews, like from Rotten Tomatoes, it's not as scary as Hill House. So if you're looking for a super scare, it's not there, but not any less good.
Not this guy. This guy is not down with super scares.
Okay. It had, I think, a 93 or 94% on Rotten Tomatoes right before it was released. Nice. So I don't know where it's at now since it's out, but it had the highest Rotten Tomatoes score for Mike Flanagan's series so far, which awesome. I thought was, I'm thinking, wow, because to me, they're all really great. So yeah, if you don't love the super scary, but you like, you know, still the dark kind of stories, then it's for you.
Sorry, I know I extended that.
No, well, I love talking about it. Yeah. I can talk a lot more about it, but yeah, no, yeah, no worries. There might be someone listening to this that would be interested in hearing it, but that's all I know, and that's all I can base it off of for the moment.
Fair enough.
Wendy, Greg, anything you guys want to promote that you have going on right now or upcoming or just wrapped?
I really don't have anything going on.
Lucky.
I know. It's a nice break.
We just wrapped Wheel of Time. Veronica and I, you know, did a closeout, and it was a It was a good long episode. It was almost 3 hours of recording. And it was, I'll tell you what, if you've been sleeping on the Wheel of Time and you enjoy high fantasy, this is pretty good. They spent the first season. It was a little bit slower. I was a little bit, I was very forgiving given that it was bringing a story that I loved to life. But this season, they really kind of turned it on.
It got great reviews, and the critics really liked it. And I think that's hard for a season two.
They are not suffering. I think they are not suffering from the sophomore slump.
Yeah.
And they really, I thought that they closed it out really, really well. And I cannot wait for season three. Unfortunately, that will probably be like mid 2025. Sucks, between that, I don't think that She-Hulk is going to get a second season.
Really?
Extraordinary season two, I believe is coming at, I think it'll be coming in the next, year or so, but I don't really have anything on the horizon unless I just find something that I'm like, oh, hey, I'll do that.
I mean, that's how it goes.
That's the same. I have Yellow Jackets and Handmaid's Tale, and those will probably be,
they might be a little late.
2020. They might be 2025 as well.
Yeah.
It's the last season of Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. I've got a lot that I think is going to be also pushed till 2025 mm-hmm. as well. We'll see.
That was one that would take, 18 months or 2 years anyway.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
with the strike, right. who knows?
Yep.
Yeah. It is a little shocking that the SAG strike's not over yet. Yep. But given the writer's strike closed it uh-huh. out. But I was a little surprised that the SAG AFTRA was not closed out much sooner after the writer's strike finished.
Yeah. I hope they get what they want and we can all just get them all back to working again. You can catch Greg's wrap up of Wheel of Time, Strange Indeed with me and Paik, covering Fall of House of Usher. All of that's on podcastica.com. We've got Paik and Daphne with Run for Your Lives. They just covered Pet Sematary. I think this week's the finale of The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon. Jason and Lucy are going to be wrapping up that coverage, so check them out. Penny and Company. Go ahead.
I do want to go ahead and plug. If you haven't watched it yet, Ted Lasso, yes. Kristen and Ben yeah. are killing it with the coverage. Yeah. And I'm like, I've watched the episodes mm-hmm. repeatedly. And then as I'm watching them, I'm like, ooh, I need to send in feedback for this episode three episodes ago because I just haven't had time to do it yet. It's just so exciting to watch it again. It's so awesome.
So great. Yeah. You beat me to it. Sorry. No, it's all good. Throw it out there because I might miss something. But yeah, Ben and Kristen doing their Ted Lasso rewatch. And then Penny and Company doing a Buffy rewatch. Mm-hmm. So I got a lot going on at Podcastica. There's something out there for everyone. Go out to the website, podcastica.com, and scroll around, find and listen and subscribe and follow.
Sydney's doing Lokiverse too.
Oh, Lokiverse! Thank you. Yep.
With Alex, I think with Alex, and
Jim.
Then I know Ahsoka wrapped up.
Ahsoka's wrapped.
We are not in a lull necessarily because there are some great things on. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm like in catch up mode.
Same. I'm just trying to get caught up. I'm always mm-hmm. I feel like constantly behind. So. A lot to catch up on and a lot of content for everyone to go listen to.
Planning on my hibernation for the winter, so. You would think I live in Montana, but I live in Maryland, but it's still winter for me.
Oh, well, this was great. Thank you, Greg and Wendy, again for a great week.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
On your marks.
Get set.
Bake.